Take control of your tarp and upgrade your manual tarp system to electric with a Roltec electric tarp conversion by AgriCover Inc. Save time and increase productivity by tarping on the go. This system operates with the convenient push of a button, keeping your driver inside the cab and out of dust, rain, and harm's way. Upgrade your existing tarp to electric today to stay protected, clean, and on schedule. For more information or to find a dealer near you, call 800-233-4655 or visit RoltecElectric.com.
Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. My goodness, one day he's on AgriTalk, the next day on Farm Talk. BIS Commodities Clark Neighbors, you're a busy guy.
Don't tell my wife, Nick. That's all I ask.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Well, sure enjoyed the conversation you and Chip had yesterday. So let's keep that conversation going. Yes, basis up here in the Dakotas is better than it's been in years. And that may affect where freight goes, do you think? Or I guess your thoughts moving forward here.
Sure. So, yeah, that's a good question. So, because of all the transportation issues, you know, not only domestically, you know, the supply chain talk, et cetera, it's had some pretty impactful numbers as far as ocean freight, you know, due to cost of fuel and just backups in ports, et cetera. What's interesting in that regard, and what could be an advantage in your part of the world, is the fact that anything for export and in the grains side, whether it's corn, beans, wheat, et cetera, anything going to Asia, it's about a dollar a bushel cheaper going off the PNW currently than it is the Gulf. And I think those numbers kind of span out through the winter in that regard. So that builds the opportunity, assuming, you know, assuming the demand's there, to bring some rail values back into your part of the world, even in other parts of the Midwest, to be competitive against, say, what would normally be a flow in a lot of areas of bushels down the river system through barges to the Gulf.
Depending. Yeah.
So I think it's something to watch. Whether that occurs or not, we'll see. But I think that opportunity's there, potentially, based on this freight situation and expensive supply chain storyline that is going on and probably will be for some time.
Yeah, well, the North Dakota Soybean Council loves to say we are the West Coast of soybeans, and I guess that could be true for corn, and obviously a lot of wheat goes out of the PNW too, so
Yeah, so a lot of, you know, like last week, I think it was around 40 million bushels of beans went off the PNW. Zero corn, for what it's worth, but it's early for corn to be going off the West Coast yet. So I think you'll continue to see pretty good bean numbers off the West Coast, at least through the end of the year. And once you flip the calendar, then our export program tends to kind of migrate away from soybeans and go into corn, as you typically then have the Brazilian crop come into the world mix as far as the bean complex is concerned. So, yeah, after the first of the year, I think I would watch that potential and, you know, maybe some decent basis levels on corn going to the West Coast. We'll see.
Well, let's hope so, because it's been a while since we've had positive or at least close to zero basis. Now, we've had two up days in the markets in a row. How long can we dream about this?
Well, three times a charm. I don't know. I mean, the market's been, I guess I would say, built some momentum since late last week. You know, we had the supply and demand update a week ago yesterday, I guess it would have been on Tuesday. Fairly bearish numbers on the beans, neutral to bearish corn, anything maybe a touch friendly wheat. But since then, we kind of put in at least what looks like some sort of a low here, at least intermediately. Especially in the soybeans, we've had a nice little bounce. Now, some of the trade will attribute this to, you know, potential demand. A lot of it's led by soybean oil and more specifically vegetable oil here in the world right now. This at or near, you know, all-time highs, whether you're looking at palm oil, canola oil, et cetera. So that seems to be the driver. And to some degree, there's days you look at soybean oil or maybe those other vegetable oils, and it almost seems like it's attached and trading more as an energy, kind of in line with the crude market, than it is a food product someday. So today that wasn't the case so much, but I don't know. Personally, you know, we have some support in these markets, demand side that we've talked about. You know, the one thing about that demand side, though, we have to watch what we're talking about earlier as far as this transportation issues. Can we execute all this potential demand if it comes?
Yeah.
Secondly, South America's probably got a pretty good crop coming, at least early, or they're into early part of planting. Things are going fairly well. Has that suppressed the market? So there's kind of a tug of war right now, and to some degree, these markets feel like they have a fair amount of volatility, but at this point seem range-bound unless something new comes, you know, as far as some additional demand or some crop issues in the Southern Hemisphere, something like that to break us out of, in my eyes, what we've seen is kind of a trading range since kind of going back in the middle or latter part of August.
Yeah, well, the drought is not over yet up here. But it looks like La Nina is maybe changing our weather patterns. That maybe for, well, we'll see how the winter plays out. But hey, Clark, got to ask you about fertilizer down in your neighborhood in the across the I states. Are farmers pre-booking? Do they have it in the shed? Are they worried about getting any kind of fertilizer for next spring?
Yes, yes, and yes. I think it depends on who it is. I mean, there's individuals that are have pre-booked. How much is in the shed? That's a good question because, again, the transportation issues, how well that's being delivered or the is the supply available. I think the biggest storyline is just apprehension, I would say, on, you know, price structure. What's the price structure going to be next spring? I don't know. I think, you know, one thing to keep in mind is it could have some impact on acres, you know, in your part of the world, you know, corn, beans versus wheat or some other products. You get up your way. I think here in the I states, as you mentioned, you could, you know, maybe see some increase in bean acres because of the cost of inputs. We'll see. I mean, I don't think most farmers have put a pencil to it yet. They're too busy trying to harvest. But I think this winter, that's going to be a key thing for people to watch. And honestly, again, with this transportation situation, I don't know. It's hard to think that these input costs or these fertilizer costs are going to go down much between now and next spring, especially with the demand structure out there to plant every acre when you have these kind of markets.
All right. Clark Neighbors, BIS Commodities, thank you so very much for the visit. We'll find your contact info on the web, and maybe guys will get in touch with you and do a little marketing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mick. Have a great afternoon.
You too. This is Farm Talk.